Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. WPOW HD2 Miami, online at WQAM.com, and on your mobile with the TuneIn app. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming on the internet, all over the internet, WQAM.com, on the computer, on the smartphone, the TuneIn radio app. If you missed the show, you're not listening to me right now, but if you want to listen later, podcast worldwide, baby. Got listeners in Scotland, got listeners in Nepal. I made that up. I was trying to find an exotic place. I lied. We do have listeners in Scotland, though. I can verify that. Canada, all over the globe, baby. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. Or you can reach us via the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. You can get us there at 56022. So one more thing here from Adam Gase today, and then we'll take some calls. We'll move on to defensive coordinator Matt Burke, who I really enjoy visiting with. But Adam Gase, he knew that at least one more question would be asked today about Lawrence Timmons, right? I think it's going to be like a daily thing, like a daily status update. If Gase is smart, he'll start just making his Facebook status like a daily running timeline on where he is with Lawrence Timmons. That way we don't have to ask him in the media. But here is Adam Gase saying that he's not made any long-term decision yet on Timmons.
I haven't made any decision. I'm going one day at a time right now. And I know there's steps that are being made, you know, with what's going on with him. And staying, you know, Mike's really kind of taking the lead on that. And so I'm getting updates as we go. My biggest thing is I'm trying to focus this, you know, my sole focus is this week. Guys that are here focusing on the Jets, making sure that we're ready to go. You know, it's, you know, these weeks come quick. And there's more downtime when you get kind of that Friday, Saturday to where if I need to kind of either look at something, research something, talk to somebody, it's better for me to do towards the end of the week than right now.
Good. I'm relieved to hear that. Hand it off to Tannenbaum. That's by the way, the Mike he was referring to. When he said that Mike is handling it, he was talking about Tannenbaum. Like that, at this point, at least right now, it's an administrative disciplinary issue, or it may even be a mental health issue. We don't know. But, I mean, to me, that sounds like a Tannenbaum or Chris Greer job right now. Because I want my head coach, like Gase said. I'm going day today because I'm focusing on the New York Jets right now. Thank God. I love hearing that. Please focus on the Jets. The Jets may be awful, but if the NFL or the Miami Dolphins, I should say, over the years have taught us anything, it's that, you know, anybody in the National Football League can lose to a bad team at any given time. No matter how dreadful the Jets are, no matter how much it looks like they are tanking, you still need to worry about a road game in New York this week. I don't need my head coach worrying about the day-to-day whereabouts of an AWOL linebacker. Yeah, please. As that issue is being sorted out and the steps are being taken, let the people in the front office worry about it, right? I don't want my head coach, who, by the way, wears many hats because my head coach is also the play caller, right? Like, he may not technically be the offensive coordinator, but as a play caller, he's very much involved in that world. He's got a lot on his plate this week, studying film, managing the guys who are actually on the field and in the facility. I don't need my head coach worrying about an AWOL linebacker when you've got people in the front office who can handle that. So I'm relieved to hear that. I'm relieved to hear that Gase is not having to waste precious minutes out of his day thinking about whether or not Lawrence Timmons is going to show up to the next game or not. I don't need him thinking about that. Let Tannenbaum worry about that. I love hearing that. Let's talk some more Dolphins here with Paul in Connecticut. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Alex. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Can I just tell you, I went back and watched that game 5 times because I'm crazy like
wow.
that.
Wow, hold on. You were a fan, bro. You went back and watched Dolphins-Chargers 5 times.
Dude, I break down the film. I love doing that. So I'm like Omar Kelly. I love breaking down the offensive line, defensive line, and all that. I love it. And I go back and I, you know, every time I watch it, I focus on offensive line, defensive line, or corners, linebackers. And
let me ask you then, because you've watched the game more than I have. I'm curious as to, Paul, how did you feel about Laremy Tunsil? Because I know that Tunsil didn't feel great about his performance. He was defended by a couple of his coaches. Gase actually said that was more on me for not calling the right plays. What did you make of Laremy Tunsil's first pro start at left tackle?
I thought he played great. He was awesome. And the whole offensive line was awesome in the run game. Let me just tell you. Like, literally awesome. He just had a couple blunders. That's it. For his first time playing left tackle in a long time, I thought he played perfectly fine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, especially the part about the running game. And I thought Juwan James played exceptional as well.
Juwan James played awesome. And let me tell you, I put it on Twitter, Mike Pouncey was my MVP of the game, 100%
nice.
Hands down.
Nice.
100%. He was, Alex, he is, like, insanely good. Like, insanely good. He's definitely the best player on the team. He's worth all that money.
We need
definitely.
The guy. We need him, no question. It's a huge drop-off when he's not out there.
Absolutely. And Hayes played really well. The linebackers actually really impressed me. I thought they played with Chase Allen is a fast linebacker.
Yeah.
He can cover the field. If they use him a little more and coach him up, I think he'd be fine. You don't even need Timmons if he gets coached up well and gets better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Hull, I seen his little deficiencies. He still played a really good, solid game. He can easily get lost inside the linemen and stuff like that. But he actually played a solid game also. Byron Maxwell was a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah,
but
you can say that again.
It wasn't that awful, but him and Rashad Jones were having some communication problems, which kind of screwed things up too. Rashad Jones, actually, I thought didn't play that well. He played average to me in that game. But that's his first game back in a long time, too. So who knows if him, he still has time. Jones is going to be Jones. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, no, nor should you be.
Cutler, I thought, played absolutely phenomenal. He looked so comfortable back there in right back to his, not his old ways, but you could tell Gase is coaching him up perfectly.
Right.
He's taking his shots when he needs to. He's dumbing it down when he needs to. He's reading the defense beautifully, like a veteran should do. And he's so swift in the pocket, Alex.
Yes.
I mean, how many times?
And let me let you run on that note because we got others waiting. But, Paul, I love the breakdown. I love the enthusiasm.
No problem. Thanks.
And it's like, man, it's – I hate to even say this because it sounds like I am really throwing Ryan Tannehill under the bus, who I've got no issue with Tannehill. I think that Tannehill is good quarterback, excellent athlete, and he's probably going to be your quarterback again in a year. He may be your long-term quarterback, but like there are times when you're watching what Jay Cutler does instinctively. And I know Jay Cutler, he's not Joe Montana. He's not Peyton Manning. Jay Cutler has plenty of issues that you've seen over his 12-year NFL career. Can be careless, can throw some awful interceptions. Thankfully, that's not reared its ugly head yet in a Dolphin uniform. But when you watch Jay Cutler compared to having watched somebody like Ryan Tannehill for the last 5 years, there are certain things with the quarterback position that just come so naturally to him that, man, you feel like when you're watching Jay Cutler do his thing, like, wow, I'm watching a real quarterback where I used to watch a great athlete playing quarterback. And let me clarify that thought on Tannehill, because I'm not one of those people who uses the wide receiver thing as an excuse for him, because I know a lot of people call up and say, well, you know, he looks unnatural quarterback because he's, you know, he's really a wide receiver that converted to quarterback. No, he was a quarterback that converted to wide receiver and then back to quarterback. Like, quarterback is his quote-unquote natural position. What I'm saying is that aspects of that position, when it comes to footwork and pocket presence and delivery, don't come as natural to Ryan Tannehill as it does to a guy like Jay Cutler. So as long as you're seeing good Jay and not bad Jay, because Jay Cutler, I got news for you. If you have not followed his career as closely as an NFL fan should, if you have just forgotten what the Cutler years in Chicago looked like and the Cutler years in Denver before he got to Chicago, maybe you were unaware that Jay Cutler is one of the biggest Jekyll and Hyde quarterbacks I have ever seen. Now, the hope and the thinking would be that Adam Gase is the guy who can keep Dr. Jekyll on the steering wheel, and Mr. Hyde is just going to hide for the rest of the year. Like, that's what you would hope, that Adam Gase is such a quarterback whisperer, and he and Cutler have so much chemistry and so much rapport that you're not going to see Mr. Hyde wearing the Dolphins uniform this year, that Jay Cutler will be Dr. Jekyll all year long. That would be the hope, right? But you feel like when you're watching Jay Cutler now that, man, this is a natural, instinctive quarterback, and it's something that Dolphin fans are not accustomed to watching. And speaking of that whole Jekyll and Hyde thing, I thought there was a very good read in the Palm Beach Post today by Dave George. And speaking of the Palm Beach Post, we're going to talk in 10 minutes with Tom D'Angelo. I don't know what I just said there. Tom D'Angelo of the Palm Beach Post is going to join us to talk some Miami Heat. But on a Dolphins tip, Dave George wrote a column today about how we're kind of in a honeymoon period with Jay Cutler, right? Where every Dolphin fan, you're in love with Cutler. He can do no wrong. He's been so cheerful, so enthusiastic when he speaks to the media. He's been smiling for the last several weeks. He's performing well on the field. Preseason was solid. Practice was solid. First regular season game was solid. That we're in a honeymoon phase with Jay Cutler. But just as Chicago Bears fans at one time were in a honeymoon phase with Cutler, and Denver Broncos fans at one time were in a honeymoon phase with Jay Cutler, at some point, will the other shoe drop? Will the honeymoon end? That was the question that Dave George brought up in the Palm Beach Post today. Will the honeymoon phase with Cutler ever end? And so what we're going to do is, later this hour, we'll have the Dono's top three list. I want to rank the top three honeymoons in South Florida sports, right? Where you get really excited about a coach or a player only to be sorely disappointed. Like, think about this one. I'll throw this example out to you. Exhibit A. This is what I'm looking for when it comes to honeymoon periods in South Florida sports. Bill Parcells. Remember how excited you were in 2007 when Wayne Huizenga handed the keys to Bill Parcells? Oh, guess what, guys? This is our president of football operations. One of the greatest football minds in history. Hall of Fame head coach. He's now going to be buying the groceries, selecting the players, hiring the next head coach, hiring the next general manager. Bill Parcells is in charge of our football operations. And man, that honeymoon ended really quick. The day that you saw Parcells looking all tan, dropped like 30 pounds sitting on that golf cart, you realize, wow, he's here for a vacation. He's not here to run my football team. He's here to retire at Del Boca Vista. That's why Bill Parcells is here. That was a honeymoon that ended real quick. I hope the Jay Cutler honeymoon never ends. Right? Like, I hope that's an everlasting honeymoon. But I thought that was a very, very interesting column written by Dave George. So I do want to get to that a little bit later. I want to get to the phones, though. Let's talk to, Octagon John. You're on WQAM. What's up?
Hey, Alex. How about Harold Miner?
Yes, that's a good one. Baby Jordan.
Baby Jordan.
Baby Jordan. He was my favorite player in 1991. I loved him.
Oh, my God. We thought he was going to be the second coming of Jordan.
Right.
It didn't work out very good. Couple things. Paul, I think you ought to have Paul on the show. He's better than Omar on analyzing players.
Yeah, that was really good, right?
Oh, my God. The dedication.
And I give Paul so much respect. This is a Dolphin fan who watched the game live on Sunday, and it wasn't the most entertaining game we've seen by a long stretch. And then he rewatches the game five times to break down the film. That's either somebody who has an incredible amount of free time or somebody who loves his Miami Dolphins. Probably a little bit of both.
Right, and he probably seen the game more than Aaron Gase has. Anyway, couple things real quick. I didn't say this start of the season because I wanted to, but I didn't get on with you. I still see 8-8. I'm the biggest Dolphin fan in the world. When we meet, you'll hear why I'm a Dolphin fan. But you're going to be there on the 30th at Milam's, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I have
every road game.
I have the greatest T-shirt for you that I've sold a few. In fact, there's a player on the team that wants one. Shodrick, I don't know his last name, plays safety for UM.
Red Wine. Sheldrick Red Wine.
I met him the other day by accident at the post office in South Miami.
Okay.
Really nice guy. And I just told him, let's go kick some butt. So anyway, I have this T-shirt. What size do you wear?
XL.
Oh, great. I have a bunch of those. Woo! I have very little anything else. I have very little larges, medium. The XL I got is a zillion of them. So you'll be in good shape on that day.
Thank you,
One
sir.
Last thing. I see 8-8, and the reason is because what you've been talking about. It's Cutler, because as good as he looks, you know that the best news about him, though, in his mind, that he's somewhere different. He doesn't have to put up with the Chicago crap he put up with all the people talking down to him and making fun of him. And you know what I'm saying? It's such a new beginning that maybe with Adam Gase, maybe he does turn the corner like Tannehill did. Tannehill was at zero before Gase showed up. So, you know, as far as looking like a real quarterback. So the bottom line is I see 8-8, and it's only because I see we'll beat the Jets easily, but after that, we have some tough games coming up that unless he plays real well, it's going to be up to him. We might not, you know, just with a jive, we might not win, you know? So unlike 8-8, I'm sorry to say that, but I'd rather see 12-4.
Yeah, and I'd rather see 12-4 as well. I appreciate the call. And Octagon John, he is our prognosticator. He predicts things. Not always right, but he does predict everything. A lot of good honeymoon nominees coming in. David Boston. Remember when the Dolphins signed him? I think it was 03 when they brought David Boston in 04 maybe. David Boston, this guy, I can't imagine how many, allegedly, steroids he must have been on at the time. This was 03 before they tested for a lot of stuff. But yeah, this guy weighed like 265 pounds at wide receiver, was running like a 4.5. It was insane what an athlete David Boston was. But the Dolphins signed him that offseason, and then I think he tore his ACL before the season even started. It was a joint practice with the Houston Texans, like a non-contact drill. And then the David Boston era never started in a Dolphin uniform. Dante Culpepper, that's another one. Dante Culpepper honeymoon. Mike Bibby in a Miami Heat uniform. You know, there are definitely not as many Heat examples as there are Dolphins examples, because the Heat have a history of actually bringing in Dion Waiters types and making them much, much better. Right, whereas the Dolphins sometimes will bring in the Mike Wallaces and the Brandon Marshalls, high-priced free agents, and it doesn't work out, right? Whereas the Miami Heat will bring in fringe free agents, and they end up working out in spades here. So there's definitely a difference there. We will talk with one of our good friends. I realized today it has been over 2 months since we have talked to Tom DeAngelo on this show, so it was time to rectify that, as training camp is right around the corner. Media day for the Miami Heat is coming up on Monday. Pat Riley will be speaking tomorrow. The sponsorship patches debuted this week. People are angry about it. We will talk about that and more with Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post next here on WQAM.
Alex Dono Show on South Florida's official football station, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
The basketball season is almost upon us. Heat open up training camp next week. Heat media day on Monday. I'll be out there this Monday, the 25th. I know Tom DeAngelo will be out there. We'll go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. I realize today it's been over 2 months since we've had Tom DeAngelo on the show, so way too long. Tom, I apologize for giving you the entire summer off, but you're back on the hook with me this week. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm glad somebody gave me the summer off, but it didn't feel like I had a long time off, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man. Let me start first with what I think is kind of recreational outrage among some Heat fans on social media. People are really upset about that sponsorship patch from Ultimate Software. Like, they think it looks ugly. Why do we need to have a sponsorship patch? I think, Tom, that it's very small. It's not that noticeable to me. I don't understand what the big deal is. What say you?
I can't believe that I hadn't seen any of that, but wow, they must not have a lot of things to much luck going on in their lives. If that's what they're worried about, they're worried about a sponsorship patch. You know, I mean, every team's going to have one. Some are probably not going to be a little bit more boring than others. And, you know, let's face it, you know, having a kind of a tech, you know, a company, you know, like Ultimate Software is not the most exciting name to have on your uniform, but it's a patch and it's up there, and it's I don't know what to say. I don't know how anyone, if that's what a Heat fan is worried about, then I can't wait for this 82-0 season in which they win a championship.
Well, tell me this on like the reason why these sponsorship patches are now allowed and why they are necessary. Right. Like, well, what is this supposed to accomplish revenue wise now that teams do have sponsorship patches?
Well, I think it's just that it's just additional revenue. I mean, you know, and it, with the price of things the way they're going, with the salaries certainly skyrocketing. It was a little bit more reasonable this summer. As I say that, and the Heat signed the players. Let's see, they gave away $50 million, $60 million, $52 million, and $42 million starting next year. And actually, the salaries have kind of been kept a little bit more in check last year this year than they were last year. So with everything going on, with everything, just the cost of things, it's just another revenue stream. And everybody's looking for. For different revenue streams, and each league has them in different ways. And we've seen this work in the secondary sports. You know, we've seen this work in this country, at least secondary sports. I know soccer is probably the number one sport in the world, but we've seen it work around the world in soccer. We've seen it work. Certainly the one sport that this is the biggest in is NASCAR, and their sponsorships, they're plastered all over the place on uniforms, on helmets, on cars. So that's basically it, and I guess in sports nowadays, and the way in business nowadays, any more revenue will help.
Tom DeAngelo covers the Miami Heat for the Palm Beach Post. He joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. So Tom, I noticed that it seemed to have been kind of kept under wraps at first, and then some pictures were coming out. I think Pat Riley did address this this week, the shopping spree he went to in a Publix, I believe, to help some of those in need for hurricane relief. I thought that was a very nice thing.
Yeah, shopping sprees. He went back many times and loaded up a van full of goods, items, all kinds of things that people have gone that need when they go through something like we all have gone through, and then even worse what they went through in the west coast of Florida, and then obviously even the more devastation that they've had in the islands over the last few days. So he was filling up a van, going, handing these out in different neighborhoods, going back, filling up the van again. And then, as we found out today, and that was just that he did that with a couple of staffers from the Heat business in the offices. That's all he told. I mean, I saw a picture. It got out on social media, and I called the Heat PR staff. They had no idea Pat was out there. So he did not want the publicity, and he actually told them, I can't help it. I can't stop people from taking pictures, that it got to get out there. But then we come to find out today, Pat actually was part of a convoy that went down to Sugarloaf Key, Big Pine Key, some of the hardest hit areas in the Keys, and helped just distribute relief for the folks down there who really needed it. This was one day last week. He'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and thought he was just going to go out purchasing things that would be placed in these three large semi-trailers to be sent down to the Keys, and he wound up being part of the group that actually took off. He left at 6 a.m. and got home at 3:30 a.m. the next morning. Something else we just learned about today. And then, of course, there was more that, Pat and his wife, Chris, and their foundation are donating another $1 million to Irma Relief. So the Heat, and there are other organizations in South Florida, namely the Dolphins, the Panthers. The three of them have really, really stepped up. It's really nice to see how much they've done. And, of course, Mickey Arison spearheading it all with the original announcement of the $10 million that's going towards Irma Relief. So it was fun. I just a little side note. It was really cool last Friday to go down to the airport where the FedEx plane was, and the Heat, Udonis Haslam and Eric Spoelstra down there helping unload and load pets off of onto the plane so they could clear out shelter space for the displaced pets from Irma. So they were moving pets that were up for adoption from this area to the Bay Area. And then on the other end, Warriors players were moving those, were receiving them and putting them in shelters there. And just to see them doing that and see the Heat being a part of that also, it's really heartwarming, the people. And it's so true. It's kind of a cliche now, but in times like this, it brings out the best, and you see the best in a lot of people.
Yeah, and you brought up the Golden State Warriors. So I've got to ask you to weigh in on this Kevin Durant saga. This is very strange to me because, like, this should be the happiest Kevin Durant has ever been in life. Like, coming off the championship, the redemption story, coming of age, validating his decision to go to Golden State, and yet he's, you know, he's blasting detractors with his sneakers. And, you know, he's bashing the Oklahoma City Thunder and Billy Donovan, apparently by accident on Twitter, because he probably thought he was tweeting from some fake account that he created, but tweeted from Kevin Durant by accident. And I read today that the Golden State Warriors team officials are actually, the word that's being thrown out there, they are perplexed by Kevin Durant's oddball behavior. What do you make of all this, Tom?
I feel the same way. I mean, this guy, look, last summer he took some hits, and I think he expected that, and he couldn't have made that move without knowing that there were going to be people out there, just the way people are. You know, somebody is going to find fault in, you know, in anything. And, you know, there were going to be people out there saying, oh, he's, you know, he's leaving, he's jumping on, just going to, you know, ride the coattails of these guys that already have won a championship, and he's not going to really, he's not going to work hard for his own championship. He's going to just go to a ready-made situation to win a championship. That's fine, because we all know that what he did, he was the best player on that team. And he deserved that championship, and he did work hard for that championship. And, you know, it wasn't, as we saw down here, it's not always easy, and things don't always come together like they do. And do they have an advantage? Sure. But that, you know, you expected that criticism. And, okay, you kind of let that just roll off your shoulders over the summer. But now, having won that title, playing the way he did, validating what he did, because – He wasn't just riding coattails. He kind of led that team to a title. And then to just all of a sudden this summer seems to like it all comes pouring out where he's, I don't understand what he's doing. I didn't think he was this, I guess he's just this thin skinned guy who just can't take this. Guys handle things different ways. We've seen LeBron, how he's handled some of the criticism, but LeBron is LeBron is the most passive aggressive guy that I've covered. He just, you know, likes to take his shots, you know, just in different ways. Durant just seems like, and it doesn't seem, it's not like it, LeBron showed that it really bothered him. Durant is showing how this has really bothered him, and he almost is trying to, you know, validate everything he's doing by just dredging up old stuff. I understand how the Warriors are thinking. If I'm them, I'm saying, look, leave this alone. What are you doing? You're on top of the world. Just get over this. Don't worry about these people. Don't look at your notifications and just move on. And that's hard for these guys to do.
And shifting over to the Miami Heat, Tom, I look at one of the storylines that catches my eye heading into training camp. Eurobasket MVP Goran Dragic, who doesn't get a lot of time off here. Is he going to get some time off maybe in camp? How do the Heat handle him, you think?
Well, I think number one, we remember that their season ended mid-April. You know, there are guys who played a lot more basketball than Goran did, even with him playing for the Slovenian national team that played through the playoffs. So it's not like he didn't get a lot of time off. He didn't start training for the European Championships until the beginning of August. So he had about a 6-week period there where he played. Where he practiced and played 9 games, and it just, you know, because it kind of butts up to the start of training camp, it becomes a little bit of a conversation. I think he's going to be fine, but yes, answer your question. I don't see any reason that Goran plays any kind of, you know, extended minutes at all in any of the 6 preseason games, and you know, probably 2 or 3 of them, I would think that he won't even step on the court. Goran is game ready now. The only goal for camp, which starting Tuesday, is for just to him to maintain it. I don't think you're going to see Goran running sprints like for the last half hour of practice, you know, and throwing up like sometimes Pat Riley would make his guys do. Just go out there and they would just be out there, not even throw a ball, not even roll a ball onto the court. You're not going to see that, and Spo's not going to make Goran do that. So I think they're just going to maintain this. This what he's in right now. Just maintain his conditioning, maintain his kind of game readiness, and he'll be fine. I just can see it coming if Goran twists an ankle or, you know, does anything. See what happens. You play summer league. You play European championships. You extend yourself during the summer and you get hurt. I don't think anything Goran did this summer is going to lead to a breaking down of his body, but especially with this team that really knows how to monitor how these guys' bodies are doing.
And which Heat player, Tom, if you can even single out one, who do you think comes into training camp with the most to prove?
The most to prove, I think it's Justice, no doubt.
Yeah,
I agree. And it's for different reasons. Number one, he only played 18 games last year. This is like Justice's. You can just rewind. You can just take that last year and just forget about it and move a year ahead, and we're at the same spot. Justice has a lot to prove because last year, basically, and not obviously not because he did not play well throughout the year, but because of injuries and because of when he did play, though, you know, he had a tough time shooting the ball. He does have a lot to prove. He has to prove that, well, number one, he has to try to stay healthy. But he has to prove that over the year, what we looked for last year, we're going to be looking for again this year. Can he make the outside shot? We know Justice can do a lot of things in the court. He can be kind of like that Swiss Army knife. He can defend. He can facilitate. He handles the ball. He runs. He's athletic. He does it. He can rebound for his size. But the one thing he's never proven he can do on this level is consistently hit the outside shot, or even and be a threat from three-point land. So that is going to be, all eyes will be once again will be on Justice. I remember early last year when, you know, he was struggling from the shooting from outside, and he never made the excuse. I give him a lot of credit because his wrist was really hurting him before his season ended because of a shoulder injury. He missed a lot of the games because of that wrist injury, and that had to affect his outside shot, but he never made that excuse. But now, supposedly, he's 100% healthy. We'll see if he stays healthy. Hopefully, he stays healthy and he can show that improvement. But there is a lot on his shoulders to show them and, you know, kind of live up to that billing that when he was of his rookie year and coming in and being the type of all around player that everybody thought he was.
Great stuff here as always from Tom DeAngelo, covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Palm Beach Post. Follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. Tom, I'm sure that I expect this one to be a longer season than last, because I think we will be talking playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think so. I see them being it's for two different reasons. I think they're an improved team only because for a couple of reasons. Number one, they did add a couple of nice players, and especially Kelly Olynyk. But this team is going to be improved just having spent that year together. We saw last year, the second half, how they improved. Are they a 30-11 team? They're going to win 60 games? No, but they're going to be improved themselves. And then the other reason is, I think, you know, this division, this conference got really, there are a lot of bad teams in this conference, and there are going to be a lot of those top six teams, which the Heat are going to probably be, that's, you know, they're going to be in that five or six range. They're going to beat up on the bottom feeders of this conference, with Chicago now down there and Indiana now down there. Excuse me. So I think for that reason alone, you're going to see a team that is going to be, by the end of by April, we're not going to be fighting to see if they make the playoffs. They'll probably be fighting for playoff position.
Love it. And I'll see you Monday at Media Day, Tom, and I'll see you for a couple of days out at training camp as well in Boca. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Great, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff there. It's nice to talk to Tom again. It really is. Texter writes, and here we go again. Basketball talk. I'm changing the station. Thanks for letting me know. I appreciate that. Hawk talks about that all the time. Oh, how dare you talk anything but football? I'm probably going to spend the rest 2+ hours talking football. Although Sunday night football tonight, not going to be that big of a deal. Tens of thousands of empty seats expected for the Rams 49ers game tonight. So hopefully people understand that empty seats is not just a South Florida specific thing. Got our sports honeymoons coming up. Some good texts that came in. I will rank my top three South Florida sports honeymoons. Now, what I mean by that is honeymoon fizzles, I think, is a good way that a texter put it, right? How excited you got when the Miami Marlins hired Ozzie Guillen, and then he had to come out and say nice things about Fidel Castro. That fizzled very quickly, right? I threw out there Bill Parcells. How excited I was by that. He fizzled. Baby Jordan, Harold Miner. That was a honeymoon that fizzled pretty quickly. How about Michael Beasley when they drafted him second overall? That was a honeymoon that fizzled. Top three South Florida sports honeymoons. I will rank them next here on WQAM.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
The tonight's list was inspired by a pretty good read that I came across earlier today in the Palm Beach Post by Dave George. Will the honeymoon come to an end with Jay Cutler? Because you're definitely in the honeymoon phase right now, right? Cutler can do no wrong, has done no wrong so far in a Dolphin uniform. Didn't throw an interception last week. Looked pretty solid at quarterback. Looked very solid throughout training camp and preseason. It's a honeymoon phase. So I, like the rest of you, I hope the other shoe doesn't drop with Cutler. Because so far, my eyes tell me Cutler is continuing to thrive under Adam Gase, but there's a lot of football left to play. So in honor of the good piece by Dave George on the Jay Cutler honeymoon, I wanted to rank my top three South Florida sports honeymoons that fizzled out. Let me read you a couple of text suggestions first, because there are some good ones that came in. Honeymoon fizzles, texter writes, Yetiel Green, Greg Jennings. Oh, I forgot about Greg Jennings. I completely forgot he was a Dolphin until right now. Entire Florida Panthers franchise after 96 Stanley Cup finals. Oh, see, that's just mean from Adam in Wellington. Oh, man. Ozzie Guillen came in from a couple of different people. That's a very good one. I will give you my top three. Top three South Florida sports honeymoons that have fizzled out. I'll go from number three to number one. My number three. How can we forget Ja'Cory Harris? I mean, do you remember Ja'Cory Harris? 2009. He was the last Miami quarterback to beat Florida State. 2009. And he did so first start of that year, sophomore season, lit up Florida State in 09. And that's a memory that I hold fondly because, again, that is the most recent Miami win over Florida State. 09 with Ja'Cory Harris. Randy Shannon was coaching the team. Bobby Bowden was still coaching Florida State. That was his final year. And then after that game, after Ja'Cory Harris lit up the Seminoles on the road, night game, very tough place to play, you had people campaigning Ja'Cory Harris for Heisman. Oh, this is a thing. Ja'Cory Harris, he's going to belong in the same record books with the Ken Dorseys, the Gino Torettas, the Bernie Kosars, the Vinny Testaverdes. Oh, he belongs in those same lists. And then Ja'Cory Harris, romp womp, fell back down to earth. Was just a very, very mediocre collegiate quarterback beyond that point. That's my number three. And you'll notice, since I'm a huge Canes guy, my list is going to be pretty Cane-centric. But my number two, I did tip my hand to this one earlier. This is one of the examples that I use. But Bill Parcells. Because I can remember my personal excitement nearing the end of the 2007 season, because that was such a debacle with Cam Cameron, 1-15. You thought the light at the end of the tunnel, because with a week or two left in that football season, Wayne Huizenga announces, we've got a new sheriff in town. We've got a new president of football operations, Hall of Famer Bill Parcells is coming in here to clean this place up. Oh, I was so excited. Bill Parcells, he's going to be drafting our players. Bill Parcells is going to be hiring our next head coach, going to be hiring our next GM. Then what did Bill Parcells give you? He gave you Jeff Ireland and Tony Sperano. You did go to the playoffs that first year. That was the honeymoon. That first season, oh wait, that was the honeymoon. And then you realize Parcells came in like a thief in the night, just took a big contract and gave no effort whatsoever. And then my number one, I am so surprised because I kept this one very close to the vest. I didn't throw this name out there because I thought it would come up, but I've seen it. I have not seen this texted in. Al Golden, that's my number one because there was a honeymoon with Al Golden. What would you say? It lasted 1 year, 3 years, one press conference, whatever it was. I remember Al Golden's introductory press conference. He's got the orange tie on. He's got that amazing hair. I haven't had hair like that since I was 13. Al Golden, so spiffy. He talked the talk. He could sell you like a Winnebago from the 1980s. He had that used car salesman thing going on. You're thinking, man, this is the savior. This is the guy who's going to right the ship for Miami football. There were only a couple of people who said, I don't like this Al Golden. I think Omar Kelly was one of them. Dan Cilio, he was way ahead of the curve on that one. Got to give Cilio credit for that. He was never an Al Golden guy. That was the one thing that Dan Cilio got right.
Even Al Golden, I can't remember what year it was, but I believe it was like 2 years into his tenure when there was a UM player, I'm forgetting his name, went down with a pretty bad
Malcolm
injury.
Lewis.
Malcolm Lewis, right. And Golden went out and he embraced him.
Yeah.
UM fans rallied around him. And there was still that honeymoon stage where, okay, the sanctions, It's all behind us. Let's see what he can do. And we all know how that ended up.
Yeah, you're thinking, man, this is the perfect guy to navigate Miami through the sanctions. Instead, he navigated you down the toilet bowl instead. So that's my top three. A lot of texts, by the way, coming in for Nick Saban, for Gerald Green as well. But my top three honeymoons, South Florida sports honeymoons that fizzled out. Number three, Ja'Cory Harris. Heisman candidate for like 3 hours, Ja'Cory Harris. Number two, Bill Parcells, like a thief in the night. And then number one, Al Golden. We'll talk with Casey Jones, my pregame partner. We'll talk some Canes football after this here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.